You're listening to a podcast on the Black Fur Network.
Hello and welcome to Crimes Like These with me, SJ.
Me, Paul.
And me, Sam.
Good evening. How are we?
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello. I feel like every episode I'm going to try and do a new accent.
You're going to do a new accent?
Not,
brilliant.
I'm not going to say where it is because it will be wrong if I do that. It will not, but you sound Welsh, Irish.
Alienating the listeners one country at a time.
Brilliant. Brilliant. What have we been up to over the past week? Anything exciting?
I saw an Irish band on Saturday.
You saw an Irish band?
Who? An Irish folk band. One night. Night in somewhere.
Okay, were they good?
They were good for an Irish folk band.
Okay.
But it's just not my thing to sit there and watch an Irish folk band, but I appreciate the fact that they were good.
Yeah.
And they did sing some really lovely songs.
Did they have a fiddle? There's always a fiddle.
The one had a fiddle.
Yeah.
The Kilkennys. There we go.
Okay.
And it was one night in Kilkenny. Yeah, I went for I went for a 70th birthday celebration.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it was sit down and it wasn't my thing. But then as it went on, because there was obviously loads of Irish people there, like they were just getting bladdered as it went on.
I was going to say, I bet it got quite rowdy, didn't it?
Well, yeah, but like in a good way and stuff. And people were like up and dancing. And there was this girl, I don't know how old she was only really little. And she just started Irish dancing and stuff. And it was quite, you know, it was a good atmosphere, but it just got to a point where I was like,
that's enough.
How much longer is left? Yeah. But I felt like shit because at the same time I appreciated what it was, just not as long. Yeah, I don't know. It was fun.
It all starts to blend into one song though, don't it? It all starts to sound the same to me.
Yeah.
It's all right if you're having if you're like drinking.
That's true. It. See, I wasn't drinking, but like my granddad's from Belfast, and I was like, "You need to appreciate this, Sam, so you will sit through it and appreciate it for what it is," and I did. But it just, like you said, it just got to a point where, because I only knew one of the songs, which is the whole like, "She is handsome, she's pretty," which everybody knows. And then the other ones I didn't.
Paul's looking blank.
No, it's just no. What is it?
She's Well of Belfast City.
Yeah,
I don't know the name of the song, you would know it if someone better sang it.
Yeah, if you heard the actual version, I think you would recognise it.
Yeah, so, but one of the songs was quite, it was from like 1916.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's half the fun of those songs, it's the history.
It's the history, yeah, so it's called Grace, and it's someone else's song, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it's been copied a few times. And basically, this guy was sentenced to death. Mm-hmm. He's like he's an Irish hero, so I'm not going to go into too much what he done because I don't know the internet, so I don't want to offend anyone. But he was sentenced to death, and him and his girlfriend married the night before.
Oh, wow.
So, like, and knowing that he was going to die the next day. And the song is called Grace after her.
Right. Okay.
So it was like written about that story. And that was really nice. Like, they kind of pre warned you that it was like their most depressing song. And yet, it was probably the one that people were sort of like most engrossed with. It was a very pretty song.
I would be as well. Most depressing song? That's me.
That's interesting because. 1916, did you say?
Yes.
Yeah, so I might show myself to be really ignorant here because I have no idea about Irish history, but that might be a significant year in Irish history because they also mentioned that year in your head, Zombie.
Oh, possibly.
And that is definitely about the Troubles, that song. So.
Oh, interesting.
So Grace might be a metaphor.
Ah.
I feel a Google coming on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Paul,
interesting.
What have you been up to?
Just going to the cinema a lot. Finished decorating the toilet.
I was going
to
say, have you decorated Yay. Your toilet?
Yeah, I've still got the floor to do, but the painting's all done. It's taken me forever just to decorate this tiny little WC. But
yeah. It always takes longer than you think it's going to anyway, yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I keep leaving it for a week at a time. So.
Are you like a bit of a perfectionist as well, though? Like, yeah, you can always just do a bit problem. More and a bit more. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a problem.
Yeah. I'm with you on that one. I'm like that because I'll just keep looking at it and thinking, that's not quite right there. I'm going to go over that. I'm going to do that bit again. Yeah. I'm very much like that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I spent the weekend in sunny Blackpool. Yes, you're right. I said sunny because I burnt my face. So we did a bit of exploring on the Saturday because it's quite a big place. It's bigger than I remember it to be. And I haven't been for, probably more than 20 years, probably 25 years, maybe.
Well, that's excellent math.
I was trying to like work it out in my head, and I couldn't do it.
That's a big jump.
Yeah. So we went with Sam's friend and his wife, and he's known for going to places and finding the most random, dodgy places to visit, basically, within a certain area. Right. So I was like, oh, my God, where is he going to take us? In Blackpool. Mm-hmm. And there's apparently a there's a place that's like sort of a mini, I won't say casino. They've got a couple of machines. They've got a snooker table and like you can't swing a cat in there. It's ridiculous. But it's like an open like shop front. And he basically cooks like burgers and hot dogs and they're a quid.
You just described the whole of the Isle of Sheppey.
So there's apparently he's like TikTok and Instagram famous apparently, and he's on YouTube and everything, and he's famous for doing these £1 burgers.
Good God.
So Saturday lunchtime, we're going to get £1 burgers.
I don't know if I'd eat a £1 burger.
I tried it and it's like a standard like fairground one that you get from like a van.
They worry me too.
But yeah, I'm not quite sure what meat it was. It was kind of crispy on the outside and mushy on the inside.
Mushy. That's, mushy. Yes. Yeah. That's the thing with those burgers.
I wouldn't rate it very highly on the sort of,
Rudy scale.
You get the feeling those burgers come as a paste.
Yeah. Basically,
slapped on.
And just slapped on, yeah. No. But they're a quid. So, you get what you pay for at the end of the day, don't you?
I'd like to get some sort of test done on that.
I wouldn't.
Because it's like that thing, Subway bread in Ireland is not allowed to be classed as bread.
Yeah.
It's got too much sugar
it's
in it.
It's got too much sugar in it, yeah. That's, it's fucked up, man.
It's insane. And bread's amazing, right? You don't have to put all that additional stuff in there. It's fucking amazing in its like most basic form. I get preservatives, I understand that, in order for them to sell it, longevity and whatever. But bread is amazing as it is. You don't need to douse it in sugar.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
You get a good baguette, you could just eat that just as it is.
Loads of Lurpak on it. Oh, yes, mate.
The only time it's acceptable to cover bread in sugar is an iced bun.
Yes. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, definitely not bread pudding, because that stuff is disgusting.
Oh, bread pudding's great. What are you about?
I hate it.
Like stodgy, isn't it? It's quite... Gloomy. Is bread pudding the one currants. With currants? Yes, and that's no good to me.
Is that an actual bread?
I love it.
Yeah, no, right. I don't like currants or raisins.
Is it
no, because no, no. This is a story.
I just noticed your t-shirt, Sam.
I've, I feel a story coming on. Have you got a Scream t-shirt?
Yeah,
please. I love that t-shirt. Scream t-shirt.
That's one. Nice. I've been eyeing that t-shirt for ages, but the thing that puts me off is the fact that Skeet Ulrich has a goatee in the picture.
And he does it in the film.
No, which he clearly grew for As Good As It Gets, because that's the same face hair he's got in that. So they must have just taken publicity shots after when he was already filming that one. I'm like, why did they use that? It's dumb.
What's your t-shirt?
Only a super fan would know.
Have we got like film t-shirts? Oh, you've got
all the films.
Okay, so I've got Aliens, Sam's got Scream, and you've got a Blockbuster t-shirt. Excellent.
Very good.
Yeah, so Blackpool was a lot of fun. On Sunday, we did the rides. We went on the new one, which was Icon. That is amazing. It's so good. We did go on the big one, which used to be called the Pepsi Max. And quite frankly, that needs to be condemned. Needs to be condemned.
I wouldn't go on anything like that. Rides freak me out.
It's so rough. It's so rough. Like, we got bashed about so badly. And there's a bit, like, after the big drop, as it sort of comes out of the drop, it kind of banks to the left, and as it comes down again for another sort of like mini dip, as it got to the bottom of the dip, it was almost as if the coaster left the track
and slammed straight
back. Like
in a cartoon or something.
Oh, yeah. My God.
No, thank you. Absolutely
horrific.
Not.
Horrific. Absolutely horrific. And I was like, I'm never going on that again in my entire life. It needs ripping out, and apparently they've replaced part of the track. And I'm like, where?
Oh, when it, you're doing that, when you're doing smooth. That, just get rid. Like that's
wasn't
not
smooth at all. Yeah. So we ended up going to the fair because Sam's friend, he's aiming to do 100 roller coasters in a year.
Nice,
cool. So, yeah,
Can he bash a few of them out in the same day?
Yeah. So yeah. He can't do the same one more than once.
Right.
So he's basically going to go all over the country, basically. Oh,
what? That sounds amazing.
I know. Yeah, because like we live like half an hour from Alton Towers, so that's on the cards.
I know.
And obviously
never been there.
Obviously Thorpe Park as well.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah. So, but yeah, best even time. The old wooden coasters, so like the Grand National is still there and stuff like that. Even that wasn't as bad as the big one. Which is insane.
I've never been to Blackpool, but I've seen the videos.
You should. I think it's stuff. Yeah. You should go. It's really good. Like
honestly, if I'm going to drive that far up the country, I just go to York.
Yeah, I mean, there's no theme park there, but sure.
I don't care about theme parks.
I'll tell you what, we went on a ride called the Crazy Coaster, and it's at the end of one of the piers. I think it's the South Pier, and again, it's rickety as fuck. It's not wooden, but it is rickety as fuck. And was kind of sitting in a four, and it's kind of like a waltzer carriage.
But it's
stationary. So you're going around on a track, and like because the carriage is so big and it's on the end of the pier, you can't see the track. So it's like you're heading out to water, and then all of a sudden it will like bank sharply left.
What I didn't realize,
I don't like the waltzers or the teacups. Anything that's got that centripetal force thing where you're spinning around in a stationary position, that makes me feel ill. And about halfway around this bloody crazy coaster, something unlocks the carriage and the thing starts like spinning on its own.
What?
As you're going around. Yeah, I had to shut my eyes a couple of times because I was like, I'm going to be sick. It was awful. I said, and then we got
terrifying.
Up and I was like, I'm not going on that again. It's awful.
Oh,
he's gone. Time
sorry.
Out.
Sorry, okay. Just quickly. Sorry, I've just got to go and get my laptop charger, otherwise my laptop's going to die.
No. There's a ride like that in Florida, isn't there? Isn't it called Pinball? Or have I dreamt this?
There's one at Alton Towers called Spinball Whizzer.
There's one
and
in
that rotates as well.
Is it there? Oh no, I've been on one and I hated it because I don't like.
It's bad.
I carry roller coaster as long as I feel like they're secure, but I don't. Yeah. Like, I can't do loop de loop.
Oh really?
I can't go upside down. No.
Oh, I can.
No,
I can. I don't mind going upside down. More the inversions, the better for me.
Nah, I'll do straight drops and everything, but I won't do. Because, like, when I went to Drayton Manor, I think, with the school, when I was, like, oh no, 15, and I was, at 15, I was nothing. I was such a skinny, invisible human.
You don't feel safe in the seats, do you?
No, well, it went upside down, and it broke down. And I was upside down for ages, and there was me just screaming, saying, get me off this fucking thing. Because I felt like I was slipping out of the cradle. Yeah. I hated it. Shit. So now, since then, I can't do anything that goes upside down.
I don't blame you. If you have a traumatic experience like that, then
yeah, exactly.
That's fair. I can't do a drop. So, like, Oblivion.
Did you not do Terra in Florida?
No,
that was,
we didn't.
One of my, like, that was probably up in my top five favorite.
I can't do a drop.
It's brilliant.
It's more the anticipation. In my head, I'm building it up, but when it happens, like the drop, and you sort of like lose your stomach, kind of thing. God, it makes me feel sick. I hate it. I can go upside down, loop de loop. Corkscrew, anything you like, but
just not straight down.
Drop, not straight down.
What different people like, and that.
Looking at certain things, I'm like, nah, I'm not doing it. And that one that shoots straight up and then it stops at the stalls at the top and then it just plummets. No, absolutely not.
Yeah, I know that one. Where was that? Which park are you talking about?
Sam was talking about Tara Terra in Florida.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because that's a big drop, and I mentioned Oblivion, which is at Alton Towers.
Yeah.
I've been on it a few times, but every time I go on it, I'm like, that's the last time I'm going on it. It makes me feel sick. Yeah. I hate it.
I'm fine with straight drops. It's like when you go over a big bump in the car.
Yes.
I quite like that, so I'm fine with that. But upside down, I just feel like I'm just gonna fall out.
I love it upside down. Love it on the new one at Blackpool Icon. That's got a sort of, as it goes, it looks like it's a normal loop, but as it comes out of the loop, it twists again. And as it comes over sort of like the apex of the loop, it slows right down and you go and like it almost like loses momentum.
No,
it's brilliant. I love that.
That's not for me.
No, absolutely not.
The art of things, an adrenaline junkie is definitely not one of them. Yeah. Leave your adrenaline at the door. Thank you very much.
Well, shall we get into this week's topic, which is Anders Breivik.
Anders Breivik.
It's your choice.
I know.
It's been a deep dive.
Yeah. I didn't realise it kind of went back as far as it went back, because it's literally just from the offset. It's even pre him being born, let's face it.
Yeah.
We will have to obviously cover quite a bit of background, because I think it is
relevant.
Pretty much half the story.
Oh, it is super, super relevant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, and also, I just want to apologize for any of my pronunciation. names or any of these places.
I know how to pronounce his mum's name.
Venkay.
Yeah.
I have been on that thing that tells you how to pronounce these names on Google.
Yeah.
Because I
saw it written down. I was like, I wonder how you pronounce that.
Because
it's not how it looks. Yeah, Wench. Sorry, her name's Wench.
Yeah. I started to write them down, but then I thought, I'll just call them the mother.
The mother. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, let's start with her, shall we?
Yeah. So she was, her upbringing wasn't great.
No.
So I think that, like, by the time that she got pregnant with Anders, she was just a whole load of messed up and had a lot of mental illnesses, I guess. I suppose you could put them in the mental illness bracket.
Yeah, she was diagnosed with BPD. She was borderline and severe depression.
Yeah. So
possibly hypochondria too, because she was like constantly ill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
With different things, like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if anyone, I didn't go as far back to sort of, I didn't start covering why she ended up with everything she ended up with. But if anybody wants to chip in with anything about her, obviously feel free. But I kind of didn't. I thought you can just keep going back and back and back here.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It just won't. It will never end.
I just got that she came from, she had an abusive home life and she left when she was about 17.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So, so she got pregnant with Anders. She saw herself as a feminist, and I'm sure she was, but as far as I can say, more than anything, it's just that she really hated men.
Yeah, she
so
was
she's
very
like that
anti-men.
Bracket of feminists, mm-hmm. which is always a little bit
disappointing. You're the loudest ones, yeah? The
yeah,
ones we exactly. see the most of.
That's it, yeah. She really hated men. Mm. How she even got pregnant is a minefield, because she was married to Anders' dad as well. I don't know if she was married to him.
I assume so, yeah.
I assume so, yeah.
Because I kept hearing divorce.
Yeah, because
she had a daughter with somebody else before
she
had Anders, didn't she?
Yeah.
So
basically the moment she got pregnant, she pretty much hated the idea that she was pregnant. She did go for an abortion, but she was past the sort of the abortion legal abort date. Mm. So she proceeded with the pregnancy, and rather than give Anders up for adoption, which you think maybe she'd have gone down, she didn't. She decided to keep him. And obviously the fact that she had a kid she hated, but also the fact that he was male was just...
It's the icing on the cake, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, she used to say some really worrying things, really. So, like, as someone who has been pregnant, like, you know, when he used to, when the baby kicks in your belly, it's a nice thing. You know, don't get me wrong. Sometimes it's like, dude, I'm trying to sleep. Can we chill? But overall, it's, you know, it's quite a nice thing. But he was trying to kill her.
Yeah, she saw it like a personal attack on her, didn't she? Yeah. Like, you know.
It's interesting that she was so erratic and like, erratic. And his dad was a diplomat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Based
in London as well, weren't
they? Yeah. Almost,
yes.
You know,
yeah.
Diplomacy and erratic behaviour. It's just an odd combination.
Yeah, no,
well,
absolutely.
Great one. Depends on what you look at it.
Yeah.
I also thought it was quite, I guess the word is like mildly ironic that she was a nurse.
Yeah.
Because she just didn't really seem to like people very much.
I'd love to have seen her bedside manner, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
As long as you were female, you might have been all right.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't think I'd have trusted her knowing what we know about her, to be honest.
Yeah.
No. So Anders is born 13th of February 1979, and throughout his
My God, it's exactly 12 days after I was born.
Really?
Yeah, I was born 1st of February 1979.
Oh wow!
Ah, that's interesting.
Actually, not the only similarity I have with Anders Breivik.
Maybe you shouldn't have said that.
I don't have violent tendencies at all.
Oh, have you got a 1,500-page manifesto?
Well, I do, yeah.
What's it about? Is it as good as this?
Mostly about why Spielberg's better than any director that's ever lived. I don't know.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I'll read that. It's only the
sort of interesting nerdery and interest in being alone. That's the only things I have in common with him.
Brilliant.
It's always just great when we compare ourselves to these
these
murderers.
Like, oh, yeah,
it's
got
like,
a lot in common with this person.
Yeah.
It's like,
you do look
I do
at yourself
have a point,
sort of like
I'll come to later. I do have a point.
All will be revealed.
Yeah, when we get to it.
Yeah. So throughout his childhood, she was just constantly emotionally and psychologically abusive towards him. She would constantly say that she wished he was dead. She'd refer to him as clingy and demanding, which, I mean, is just a harsh way of saying he's a child. Like, they are dependent upon you, so they will be demanding. They are clingy because you're their parent and you I'm meant to have a bond with them. That's just how it is meant to work.
Exactly. You are their primary caregiver. They cannot care for themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It's sad, though, because she was clearly mentally ill and clearly ill-equipped to cope with a baby, and nobody took that. Well, not yet, anyway, but nobody has yet taken that kid off her. Like,
no, exactly. No. Mm-hmm. And so she would refer to him as just nasty and evil and determined to destroy her. So he was basically born just to make her life a misery, apparently. Yeah. Pretty much what it come down to.
If you didn't know she was like a bit like that before the pregnancy, like you'd think that was just postnatal depression, because like I think a lot of people go through that, don't they? Like resenting the baby and stuff.
Yeah, there's they've bracketed it now, so that there's like postnatal depression, and there's also postnatal rage, and I think there's another one as well. And the postnatal rage is that, like, why won't you sleep? Why are you doing this to me?
Oh, really?
Like, so it's like it's a relatively new thing, but it is massively. I mean, a lot of it is down to sleep deprivation.
Yeah,
like, because
that makes sense.
You are massively sleep deprived, and so yeah, it does seem like she had a lot of that. But as we know, she also just hated men. Mm-hmm. So just ridiculous. So when Anders was one, Venke and his father, who was Jens Brevik, they divorced. And Anders stayed in Venke's care.
Yeah, voluntarily, by the way. He could have gone with his father.
Yeah, it was that.
Yeah, he went with his mom and his sister, didn't he?
It was a very interesting dynamic. You can just imagine this child, though, because at this point, he is a child, and the implications of his upbringing probably haven't been impressed on him yet, and he just wants his mom. He's just like, I want to be with my mom. So
this I heard a psychologist describe as his sliding door moment. Like they spoke to like several psychiatrists, and they pretty much all said that if he'd gone to live with his father instead, he would have came out very, very different. Like, not just in his political beliefs, but just generally.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely think this is so heavily nurture-based. It's
100%.
It's hard to deny that when you've
done it. Well, he was probably not only by observation, but he was absorbing her behaviours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And it's very similar to the way Ed Kemper was treated by his mother.
Yeah.
Very similar.
Yep. So he kind of then grew up without a father's kind of being around that much. And one of the things that was noted that Venka used to, what they categorised it as, what she used to do to him, she would project her primitive, aggressive and sexual fantasies onto him. So she
That's a lot of big words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, that sentence is just, it's bad news. You know that you can't imagine what she's doing to that child.
Exactly.
Yeah. And normally that gets to a point, if there's that many words to describe a condition, they just name it after a new condition. She almost brought on a new condition.
Absolutely. In 1982, she did apply for respite care for Anders, because she was I think she just didn't want him, basically. She didn't want to look after him, and he was placed into foster care with another couple. And this just kind of is just one of just to give you an example of the kind of mother that she was. She asked who was to be the foster father if Anders could touch his penis, because he'd only ever seen female parts before. So that
what
is
do you need to touch it.
Well, exactly, and that is part of the whole projecting her sexual fantasies onto Breivik, but it's just a strange thing.
Imagine being the husband and her asking you that question. Like, surely you would turn around and go, hold on a second, I'm making a bad decision here.
That's it.
Or, I mean, he could have gone the other way and said, actually, this kid needs help. I need to get him away from this woman.
Yeah,
exactly.
He didn't either, that's though, it. Clearly.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, because she would like the psychological, another psychological element of it is just the fact that she was so back and forth with it as well. Like, one minute she'd be really loving, and then the next minute,
like, literally in the next moment, it was extreme,
extreme
emotion, you know, love and affection, and then take it away, you know, back to the abuse kind of thing. But the abuse was never physical; it was all emotional and psychological, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In some ways, that could be worse.
Well, yeah, because that's going to do the long term damage, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, and then the deep seated sort of changes in children, like, especially, you're going to change their life.
Oh yeah.
100%. Yeah,
it's going to change their brain chemistry and how they process everything, and how they experience the world, basically. Yeah.
Exactly. So, it was recommended that Bravey be removed from her care fully, but his dad intervened and applied for custody. Mm. But then Venkay stepped in and sought full custody of Breivik back, of which she won. There was that the authorities said there wasn't enough to sort of completely take him away from her and put him in his dad's care,
which is just insane.
Yeah,
that's just inspired, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Again, that's like emotional and psychological in itself, because she didn't want him.
Yeah,
you know, and there'll be a part of him that maybe thought that he was wanted, and then again she'd have just gone back to the abuse. So it's just would just never have known where he stood. It's like constantly every minute of the day, except when you're asleep, treading on eggshells, because you don't know what if you're going to get Jekyll or if you're going to get Hyde.
Yeah And he,
I work with someone like that.
Really?
That must be really hard.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I'd find it so hard to be around that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because I constantly, I mean,
in his
fear.
Case, it's being an addict that sort of does it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that would make
but
sense.
It is stressful.
I bet. He also constantly smiled, like an abnormal, like abnormally. So, like, he, no matter what situation, he would just always be smiling. And they put it down to a psychological defense mechanism. Like, he also constantly fidgeted and was restless, and they think that it's because he never felt safe.
This is another thing I have in common with this brain. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but I never ever sit still. Like,
my
legs are always bouncing, I'm always moving.
Yeah.
I think that's more common than you think, though.
Oh, it certainly is. Yeah, Dan's the same way. You know, Dan Usher.
Dan Usher's
the other guy I do a podcast with. Exactly the same as me. Always moving.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? It's obviously very common, and there's obviously going to be different causes of it and things like that. Not necessarily like trauma or anything like that. It's just like maybe habit, or, you know, ADHD, or, you know, autism, anything like, you know, those kinds of things. That's how they kind of manifest themselves sometimes, don't they? He didn't cry, like, he hardly ever cried as well as a child, which I find really strange. Like,
he's just built up that resistance, isn't he? Because he'd have just been crying like every day in that case. And it just
Number
hardens
five.
You.
Have you got a tick list, Paul?
Got a mental tick list going on.
This is really, he's just gonna like rip off a mask at the end and just be like, oh, Amanda's brave. How dare you slander my name?
Oh, it's like Mission Impossible 2, isn't it?
You just build up so many different defenses, though. You just just to get through, I guess. And you're not going to have as many emotions, are you? You're not going to process something as, you know, if someone then turned around and were like, you're a dickhead to him, it'd just walk on by. Whereas if someone turned around and was like, you're a dickhead to me, I'd be like, that's a bit fucking hurtful. Like, no need for what? That, is that? And then I'd cry. No, I'm not.
Yeah. I'd do. I'd look round, give him a dirty look, carry on walking, seething. Yeah. When I get home, I'd go through all the scenarios. What I should have done.
Yes, I do that. Such a common thing, isn't it? Yeah. Why do we do that? Like, just let it go. You're in the shower, and you're just like, should have said this.
Oh, mate, don't talk to me about shower conversations in my head. Oh, the amount of times that has happened to me.
Jesus. My like water bill would be so much cheaper if I could just shut my brain off whilst I'm having one, instead of imagining scenarios and imaginary arguments.
Yeah.
But yeah, I digress.
Time well spent.
Absolutely. Imaginary arguments in my head.
Well, better running through them in your head than in real life.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen.
That's true. Or like, have you ever done it where you've like gone through and you're like, that's really well, you've preempted an argument, you've run through it in your head, it's gone really well, then you deliver it and you're like, that was
didn't sound as good.
Or you deliver it, it really sounds like you've been practicing it, you deliver it like a film line.
You've been rehearsing and
like a TV movie acting. Amazing. Yeah. So, so fast forward, throughout school, he was intelligent, which you'll be, obviously, as the story, I don't know what to call it, continues, you kind of get that he's, you know, he's quite smart. He's also very physically fit.
Yeah.
Super vain.
Absolutely.
He was very concerned with his outward appearance, wasn't he?
So he had cosmetic surgery.
He did. He did. Yeah.
What was it? His chin, his forehead,
and his nose.
Basically,
loads of things. Yeah. He didn't have hair plugs, though.
No, because that hairline went from, well, I mean, he didn't really have it as a kid, really, did he?
But no.
He did have the curtains,
yeah, and they were like, they weren't the best. He was obviously obsessed with his physique as well, wasn't he? So he would weight train a lot. He'd also take anabolic steroids, which that's also not going to be great.
That's
for
just
your
wreak havoc on his hormones that are already all over the place from the emotional and psychological abuse that he's endured, you know, throughout his life. Like, it's gonna be,
can I just point
chemically
out though,
toxic
that, yeah, steroids don't make you want to fight people.
No, I
mean, not I'm not I, like I don't... steroids clearly, but, if you like, I do know a lot of people that compete in stuff, and there's no clean athletes out there, none. So the only way steroids are going to make you angry is if you're already angry and or doing far too many.
Yeah.
So I just don't want to stigmatise people who use steroids, because I know people who use steroids.
No,
that's fair. I think that's fair. And it's like we were saying before, you know, just because, you know, somebody might have been diagnosed with a mental illness doesn't mean to say that they're going to go out and kill anybody.
No, exactly. Yeah. Oh, and also, just as a point of reference, they prescribe steroids to people. Like, steroids are commonly prescribed.
That's very true.
Yep.
He did some compulsory army service, doesn't he, as well?
He tried to, didn't he?
He tried to.
So in Norway, I didn't know this.
No, I didn't either. I know,
it's compulsory to serve in the army.
It's not quite. That's not quite how it is. They've got a very unique system. So in Norway, you have to take the test compulsory. It's compulsory to take the test.
Okay.
But you only serve if you wish to serve and if you pass the test. So if you pass the test and you wish to serve, you go serve. So it's not like national service where you have to go serve.
Wow, okay.
Why would you have to... Why?
Well, I expect, because I know a lot of Scandinavian countries, Sweden for one, doesn't necessarily, well, they do have a standing army, but also every citizen is required to stand and fight in case of like war or invasion. So in fact, I think I may be wrong here. I've heard this from other like third hand information. Okay. But I think it is compulsory to own a firearm in Sweden in a household. I may be wrong.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. Right? I will fact check myself later.
Okay.
I'm sure everyone, the listener's already doing it.
Well, good old Anders took the test and he was deemed unfit.
For service, yeah. Didn't quite say why, but yeah, that's not.
I'd
didn't
love to know
human,
why.
Probably.
Yeah, not great at all. One of my favourite things that I read about him was that he was part of the hip-hop community Oslo. And also
and
a graffiti artist.
Yeah.
I love that because it's so... It goes against everything that he ends up standing for. It's so left.
It's not organized.
This is another example of his sort of unordered mind, if you like.
I'm just gonna
come to my point here, because this is another thing I have in common with him, right? When I was younger, particularly, and growing up, I've always jumped from thing to thing because I don't know if I have some kind of weird displacement disorder or something, but I have this thing where I never feel like I fit in, like, anywhere. Like, I've always had it my whole life. This is not a pity me thing. I'm 44, quite happy with who I am. But that's how I've always felt. I've never felt like I fit in, right, anywhere. So I understand him jumping around, and I also understand him getting brainwashed into a community the way he did, because he was, I'm not, but he was desperate to be in a community. Like, he needed that.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And the one, a lot of these people find is a similar community.
Yeah.
I mean, look at all the people that have followed Columbine. That's a community.
Yeah.
It's a good little bit of insight.
So you think because he's been neglected as a child?
I wasn't neglected as a child, by the way.
No. I'm on about him now. That's why he wants that sense of community. He wants to belong to something.
Exactly.
He wants acceptance
because then he doesn't feel like he fits in.
Yeah.
So he hops around. That makes a lot of sense.
It really does.
Very good.
We're sounding very intelligent on this episode, I have to say.
Or half psychotic.
It's just because Paul's like, I can tell you why, because I am.
I'm just prepping.
No, I don't have any strong political leanings. So
no.
We're good.
For the listeners, I am joking. Paul is not Anders Breivik.
Yes, definitely not.
No.
Ah, but I am.
Can
it's a Scooby-Doo moment. His dad did end up ceasing contact with him at 15 after learning about him being fined for graffitiing.
Yeah.
Which is a... I don't know if my dad would.
It seems a bit harsh
for that reason. But I suppose, mate, unless it was like, this is the last straw. I don't know.
Yeah,
he was
maybe.
Rebellious, wasn't he?
Was,
he
yeah,
was
when he got to his teens, he did become more rebellious.
Yeah,
didn't he?
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, don't we all though?
Yeah,
I don't. Sure yeah, but then there's different levels, isn't
it's
there? Like,
it's true.
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
There is that, like, yeah.
And it will be your parents' opinion as well of what is considered rebellious as well.
Yeah. My mum says that I was a nightmare, and I'm like, that I was not. I was not. Because I know, like, some people in my year, so that's my year from my background, from my area, my age, fucking 10 times worse than me. Like,
same.
No.
Yes, same. So, I'm not a junkie, which is...
I knew girls in my year that were going out and having sex in like over the fields and stuff, like at the back of our school. And
I was under the bridge bar in my area.
Oh, was it? Oh, well, yeah, there was a quarry. There was a quarry over the back of our school, and that's where the quarry. Yeah.
I went to a boys' school. It'd be like,
you know, so and so. Wow, she's gone over the quarry with so and so. Oh, right, okay. So it was that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Do you know where I was? Do you know where I was in my teens? In my bedroom, reading a book, drawing, painting, listening to music,
yeah. Fucking nerd.
Playing video games. That's what I was doing.
I was always out.
I would still get shouted at for not going out.
Yeah. I was always out. Like, I was very social. But I was never promiscuous or anything like that.
Then one of my
best friends, I'm not gonna say who, just in case they're listening to our famous podcast. but her family were very, very strict. Like, I'm gonna say Christian. I think they're Christian. Really, really strict. And her dad, we knocked on just for her to come outside and have a walk around the neighborhood, whatever. Her dad called me inside and basically went, I know what you do with those boys. And I was like,
excuse me?
And honestly, like, it's only like, it was only way after, like years after, we're looking back, and I was like, he was first referring me to being a slag. And I was that little of a slag.
Yeah.
I didn't even realise that's what he was referring to at the time. I was just like,
oh my God.
Like, I don't understand what you're on about. Like, I don't.
Got slut shamed. Didn't know it happened.
Basically, yeah. And then I look back and I'm like, you cheeky prick. Like, I was a fucking angel.
Wow.
Yeah. Shit. And, this is that therapy session today.
It's all coming out now.
It is.
All coming out.
We're all looking a bit.
I mean, none of us, you know, isolated ourselves on purpose and became extreme right-wing fascists.
No.
Though, did we?
Now, that second part definitely didn't happen.
No.
The former, not the latter.
Yeah, absolutely. He became convinced that the West was at war with Islam.
Yeah. Oh, what did he call it? Arabia? Were you Arabia? Was it used to refer to
that's
it as?
It. Yeah.
Arabia.
Isn't that a 1984 reference?
What?
What are the three continents in George Orwell's 1984? It's Eurasia. There's three continents in that. It might be one of them.
Oh, is that?
Maybe. I don't know.
I should read that.
That's just made, what it made me think of.
That's what he used to refer to us.
He liked a few video games as well, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
This is another one. Actually, that both you and I probably had in common with him. Not the video games, because I don't play them, but the fact that I used to sit and watch films all the time.
Yeah.
And smoke weed all the time, which is exactly what he did.
Yeah.
I was never led to...
No.
No, I
watched horror films from a young age, and I turned out all right.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's like the video game. I don't think he was referencing the video games made him like it, but he would use it because he used to play Call of Duty, didn't he? So I think he would just use it as
Call of Duty.
Yeah, he would use it as target practice. Now, I've never played Call of Duty, right? But I don't. Is that an actual? Would that make you better at shooting? Like target practice?
Doubt it.
I think some of the later ones, particularly, I think there is like a World War II based one.
Mm.
But I think that one has zombies in it. I can't remember.
Oh no, they all have. I think.
They all got zombies in it?
Oh, I don't know if it's all of them, but I know the one I played did, and that was like a.
Yeah, so I think most of them are quite historically accurate. In terms of the weaponry and things like that.
Oh, they are, yeah. But I mean, what Sam's saying is, would they make you any better in a real life situation?
I think so. No. Yeah. I think they would.
No, I don't think so. Have you ever fired a gun?
No.
Because
I think I'd know what to do. I could probably work it out. I do.
Yeah, I'm not denying
you. I'm really
about this. Very, very confident.
Like shooting a gun and playing a computer game are very, very different things. There's so many more factors.
Agree, but I think at this point, he was starting to become dedicated to his cause. Oh, yeah. And I think this is where the, you know, the cogs are turning in his head. Yeah. And it's, well, with that ideology as well.
Yeah, because he had kind of like the perfect mixture of the interests at this point, didn't he? Because he had an obsession with guns. He was a member of the Oslo Gun Club, so I suppose he's got that physical experience. And then he's playing the video games for target practice. I was just unsure whether the target practice would, on Call of Duty, would make you better at aiming and shooting. Not necessarily the shooting of the gun, but the aiming and the getting it accurate.
I think that's
what he said he used it for, which is just
he was actually firing guns for target practice. He was firing guns a lot.
He was.
Well, he was part of the gun club and stuff, wasn't he? And he was obsessed with guns, which, you know, we've covered before.
Another tick on Paul's list there. Obsessed with guns.
I'm not obsessed with them, I just like them. So at the age of 23 in 2002, Breivik started a 9-year plan to organise and carry out what would end up being the 2011 attacks in Norway. It's a nine-year plan. I mean, talk about bloody organisation.
And that's dedication for you.
Absolutely.
Who knew a man could plan and organise something like that? I tell you what, it's astounding. It's astounding.
Who knew a woman could execute that plan? I mean, my comeback made no sense. There was no woman there.
I was trying to think, I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah. He was obsessed with another incident, the Oklahoma City bombing.
Yes, he was in 1995, wasn't he?
Tim McVeigh, yeah. That's the one, yeah, because that was an anti-government thing, wasn't it? And he used
to. You know why he did that?
Retaliation for Waco. Oh, was it?
Yeah, and there's a new Waco documentary on Netflix. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
It's brilliant. Is it?
Oh, God. What a clusterfuck from both sides. I bet it was. Just didn't need to happen. Complete clusterfuck. Great documentary.
Yeah, because he saw that as like a sort of like educational thing for him, like to study like how he pulled that off, which is just insane.
Because as much as he had his own, he was very narcissistic and, you know, had his own views on things and sort of like his own, what do you call it? His own political party in his mind, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. He was a lunatic.
But he wasn't necessarily that much of an individual about it because, you know, he idolized. What was his name again? You just said his name. I'm so shocked with names. Yeah, him. Yeah. And then, like, fast forwarding to the manifesto a little bit. I mean, he did copy and paste quite a lot from Ted Kaczynski's, which is the Unabomber for everyone listening, of his manifesto. So I think he wasn't necessarily an individual. Like, I think he struggled with that side of things. He kind of picked and borrowed.
He did. He so desperately wanted to be like them that he didn't know how to form his own opinions just by researching. So that's why he copy and pasted, I think. I just don't think he had the sort of wherewithal to form an opinion of his own and come up with any sort of new ideas or, you know, build on the ideas that, you know, the Unabomber Ted Kaczynski and Tim McVeigh had. I think it was just that he just wanted to be them, be like them so desperately you know, that was just the easiest thing to do for him, you know. But yeah, it's, 1,500-page manifesto.
But he had a lot of like Nazi military uniforms too that he would prance around his house in.
He made his uniforms.
Made his uniforms.
Fuck.
weird.
Yeah. I love the photo. He took them photos there, didn't he, of himself, like, you know, standing in his bloody uniform as if he was some sort of fucking high commander.
I don't know if I misheard, but I watched something on YouTube where it said he used that as one of his dating profile pictures.
No,
really?
Yeah, like, all right, what are you trying to attract there?
It's interesting to even think of him on a dieting profile, though, because, that's it, yeah. It just didn't seem like he was interested in looking for love at all. It was all just it was all politics.
But he hated women.
But then his mum hated men.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just a vicious cycle, isn't it?
It's just a big clusterfuck.
It is a clusterfuck.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
So
that is the word of the episode.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's a terrible.
I couldn't find anything about him like having any partners, like romantic.
No, nothing. And that's what I mean. That's really strange.
Do you reckon he's a virgin?
Do you reckon he's an incel?
Oh,
the
king of the incels.
I would put money on that.
Yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me.
Actually, in his case, it's probably not incel. It's probably.
No, because they kind of feel entitled to female attention, don't they?
Breivik didn't want one.
Breivik didn't want him. He hated women, so yeah. He did a lot in the 9 years, didn't he?
He did loads.
He took out loans and credit cards. He stocked up on ammo and guns and the rest of it. He also registered and rented a farm in North Norway because he needed to order the fertilizer for the truck bomb.
Literally became a farmer.
Yeah.
So which is really like exactly
which is very,
very smart.
It was also really isolated. It was a really isolated place. Yeah.
Because I'm not sure if it's someone who worked with him or he liaised with or someone who just also had a farm, but he was like the least farmery farmer you could ever.
But when you walk around in black combat gear, helmets all day, you look at it weird, don't you?
But then people were just like, you know, he was just a bit. He just got away with it because it was like he was just a bit odd anyway. So,
ain't that always the case with people like that? It's like, yeah, he was always a bit odd, but he never hurt anybody.
He's harmless.
That's
how Dan does. He's harmless.
Yeah.
Just farms his veg up there.
Yeah.
So he gets bottles of fertilizer, but there's no produce coming out of there. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's really strange, isn't it? Really strange. So in 2011, that's when he sends his 1,500-page manifesto out to 1,000 people. It was titled 2083 European Declaration of Independence.
Yeah. I like the way that he thinks he speaks for Europe.
I know, yeah.
I know. Right, I know. Mate.
Just think a lot of yourself, don't you?
Yeah, just inside. In his manifesto detailing using Call of Duty as target practice.
Brilliant.
You can read the manifesto, can't you? When I was researching, I was just like,
I'm sure
you'd
be surprised
it's just going to be it's probably
you know, earmarked and flagged for like FBI and shit like that.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. And actually there's got to be at least one person out there that admired what he did. Because they're always
there'll be a community because I'm sure they're at
4chan. Like, it's called 4chan.
Yeah, it's called 4chan.
I don't know what that is. I'm just looking really clearly.
Oh, do you not? Oh, mate, you're better off not knowing what 4chan is.
No.
It's like if Reddit.
Yeah.
If Reddit has a toilet and it's like had a really bad curry and food poisoning, 4chan is the bowl.
Yeah. Oh God. Okay. Yeah. Right. I get it.
It's like the darkest place of the normal internet. Not like the dark web.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just hellish.
Oh.
It's hellish. Full of mentally ill people. For real.
I've not heard of it. No.
Don't go on it.
Don't go on it. Just Google what is 4chan.
The best thing you can do, go on YouTube and watch like the darkest 4chan icebergs and shit like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I forgot we were recording a podcast then.
Yeah, we are recording, aren't we? Sorry. Yeah,
we are recording.
Yes, we are.
We are recording. Yeah. I'm not really recording this one. It's just it's hella in depth.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the same year that he then decides to carry out the attacks. So on the 22nd of July 2011, Rabbit changes into one of his homemade uniforms, which is a police uniform. He is an idiot. And he parks a, basically, it's a fertilizer bomb in a white van.
Mercedes Sprinter.
It is a Sprinter. I clocked that.
It's massive.
As soon as I saw it on the CCTV, I was like, Sprinter, he's gone for the big boy.
Yeah, he's gone for that celebrity van.
He's gone. I tell you, it had, I can't even remember the weight of it, but
a ton and a half.
Was it a ton and a half?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Ton and a half of fertilizer.
Jesus.
The explosion, not just the fertilizer, obviously. Bomb, yeah. Not an explosion. That's the thing it does. Sorry.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
So you can see that on CCTV too.
When you watch the footage of it, you can just see it's not like, you know, it's not a small thing by any means. It's a very big attack. He barks it outside the housing office of Prime Minister Jens Stoltenberg.
It's good enough for me.
Oh God, I'm so brummy when it comes to things.
Yeah, because
which is in Oslo.
Yeah, the party in power was Labour at the time, wasn't it?
It was. Yes, it was. Yeah. And he hated Labour. Yeah. And it goes off at 3:26 p.m. and it kills 8 people and injures 209, which is a lot. They weren't all like major injuries, but like it injured 2009, which is ridiculous. And obviously he was targeting the Prime Minister at the time, but he was not there because he was at home practicing a speech for the conservative kids on Utia Island. Utia, is that how you say it?
Utia? No, they're Labour.
I'm thinking of terrible.
Don't, because I've been really worried about this podcast and getting into a rant about the Tories. So.
Yeah, no. We're not going to go there.
Let's just say fuck the Tories and move on.
And leave it there.
Utoya Island is it's tiny, that island.
It's beautiful too.
It's literally a bit of land and it is stunning.
It is.
Stunning.
Pointed out on one of the things I watched about it earlier that from above it looks like a heart.
Yeah, it does.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. So he was, the Prime Minister was not there and obviously wasn't, the attack kind of didn't end up attacking the person he wanted it to. Breivik then gets out of the van before it explodes and then makes his way to another car just casually.
Mark, I love it how he's walking down the street in full gear.
Full riot gear.
With a machine gun.
Yeah.
No one
bats an eyelid.
Because it's just so like.
There's not many people about, but still.
Yeah.
No, but still, like, just him strolling down the street.
Yeah. Even though he massively sticks out like a sore thumb, though, because of the way he just strides to the car.
Yeah,
there's also an element of, he's not looking around at people like aiming his gun. Like,
I don't know.
He's walking with a purpose, isn't he?
Yeah.
And
I wonder, I think
people thought, oh, he's got somewhere to go kind of thing. Exactly. Like, but he's on a mission.
Don't you think you would think that was odd? Like, you've seen armed police in real life, I'm sure. Mm.
One on his own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not only that, one but on you know they've got all the markings. Yeah. Like, all the markings, police written on them, like their numbers, everything. They're unmistakable.
Yeah.
I think I don't think I'll pay that much attention to that level of detail, but I would have, Sarah said,
yeah, I stare
I would
at
pay attention to the fact that he was solo because they're usually in pairs, if not groups, but they're usually at least in pairs.
Absolutely.
So the only thing I would have been like is, oh, he's solo. But I don't think I'd have been sort of like, I don't think I'd have picked up on the details that I'm just that. So there would be people that won't because I know that I'm one of those people.
See, I'm terrible when I'm out and about. If I see something suspicious, I'll make a point of looking at my watch and making a note of where I am, just in case I see something on the news or hear something on the radio. And they're like, were you here at this time? Did you see this guy? And I'll be like, I was there at 14:26 on this day, you know. That's what I'm like, because I'm like looking around. But if I see something, I'd just make a point of looking at my watch and what time it is and where I am.
But you can tell that you're that kind of person, and you can tell that, I'm not that kind of person. Like, this is the thing. At least I know when I'm with you, Sarah, we've got it covered.
Yeah.
Like, if I saw something a bit dodgy, I'd think I might then think, oh, I might make a note at the time or whatever. But it would have to be something really sketchy.
I do it all the time.
It's where especially I live. There's people when I'm in the office. All the fucking time.
In Birmingham City Centre, like, especially when I'm in the office, yeah.
Yeah. See, when I used to work for Branch,
yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So I used to work for a different bank than where I work now, and I used to work in Branch for a whole 3 months. I hated it and left because it was fucking diabolical.
I don't know anyone who enjoyed their time in Branch.
I lasted 3 months there. I hated the people. I hated touching the dirty money. I was always ill because money is just filth. Like, it's obviously great, it makes the world go round, but it's.
I used to be the one to clean the note counting machines every quarter.
Oh, no,
what did you do with all the cocaine you got out of there? Flogged that on the side?
I wouldn't have snorted it, let me tell you, because it was mainly dead skin cells.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like grey dust and it's the smell. Vile. The smell is horrible.
Oh.
But horrible. I remember we were being like audited or something at the time. And you used to have to stand outside the bank while someone else opened up the bank, and you would have to look around and check anyone suspicious. So I was the person that was checking the suspicious, right? And then when we got in there, she was like, the auditor came in, she was like, really good job. I could tell that you were looking at me and you were making notes on your phone. I was just texting. She didn't stick out to me at all. That's how blase I am though, and that's why I know I wouldn't pick up on these details. Like, and I was like, thank you so much. But I'm just a really good actress, so I just get to pull it off, and I'm just like, I look really good just because I should have been on the stage.
You look trustworthy, obviously.
Obviously, oh, she was like, I'm the opposite of that.
Brilliant.
I'm just a bit more now with Rafe, and that's it. Just a bit more sort of like, but that's just, I think that's just protective regardless. But for myself, my own prediction, I'm fucking useless. I'm gonna get kidnapped now and all.
No,
anyway. Anyway, so yeah, so he makes his way to a parked car and then travels to Utoya. There we go. I've even written how to say it, but I can't even do that. Which was holding a summer youth camp run by the Labour Party. So Breivik then gets so the ferry's kind of briefly stopped whilst the bomb went off in Oslo, and Breivik then gets on the first ferry to the island.
Bamboozling the ferry driver into thinking he was a police officer.
Yes. Yeah, because he said the reason for him to go to the island was to spread the word about the bombing incident and give them a security update and make sure that everyone was safe and secure the island. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. but imagine, like, there's no one even ahead of him. There's no parents ahead of him, there's no one. He's literally the first one there. It's just it's such a horrible twist of fate.
Yeah.
And then when he gets to the island, he's greeted by the camp leader and security officer. So the camp leader is Monica Bozay and security officer Trond Bernston. Who then when he gets to the other end, he pretty much just immediately shoots. So there's very little. There is correspondence between them, but it is hardly anything.
It's brief, isn't it?
Yeah. He just shoots them. And then that's it then. He just continues to very stoically, methodically, systematically just go around shooting. That's it. It's just, there's no, it's not even like manic. It's not even
it's not as such,
even though, you know, it's a lot of people. It's,
no, he's literally just walking around exterminating them. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. All while shouting, "You are going to die today, Marxists."
Yeah.
Yeah.
He also used dum-dum bullets, which I didn't know what they were, but...
He uses the dum-dums? Have you not seen In Bruges?
I have seen In Bruges.
Okay,
yeah.
you know when he goes to buy the gun from Yuri and he's talking about the bullets and he's talking about the alcoves? That's what he says to him. He goes, "You use this word, dum-dums?" He's talking about the head explosion bullets.
Okay.
It's so funny. That just reminded me of that.
Oh, God.
And Paul's choking.
I was going to say. I like that film. It's a good film.
Oh, it's a great film.
It is. It
Dum-dums.
Great film, yeah. Brilliant film.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is a ridiculous name for a bullet, though, but there we go. But, yeah, so basically they expanded on impact and had a little Google and they look vile.
Yep.
Yeah.
Actually vile.
Yeah, they're not nice bullets. No bullets are nice, but fucking
no,
hell.
But they're like... Well, they just cause additional damage, don't they, than just standard.
They rip through your...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they... I think... Aren't they the ones that it's the exit wound, isn't it?
Yeah. Same way muskets used to work as well.
Yeah. Like they blow the
back. Small entry just takes them back completely and gone.
Yeah. So I am not the host of this podcast that knows that much about guns. I'm gonna hope that Paul can give more information on this. But as far as I'm aware, he had a semi-automatic and a handgun, and that's as much as I kind of know.
I don't know much more either, to be honest with you.
Well, the handgun will be...
It looked like a nice gun he had.
The handgun will be... It'll be 9mm, I am assuming, because it'll be small, compact, easy to carry.
Yeah.
The bullets will be easy to carry. Semi-automatic...
The rifle was unusual looking.
Yeah, I don't know what rifle it was.
No, I don't know either.
I don't know what rifle it was. I'll see if I can find it. I'll see if I can find it.
A scary looking one.
Yeah, it was. So
basically that's what he does. He just goes around shooting people. So I mean, and he's just so callous about it as well, because when the autopsies were done, basically it just showed that they were pretty much for the majority shot at close range.
Just
had no feeling no feeling towards anyone. The attack lasted 72 minutes, which
that's insane.
Is terrifying, really. Insane. Absolutely terrifying. And, I mean, these are, for the most part, obviously there are adults there, but these are kids. The youngest,
teenagers.
I think, was 14.
Teenagers,
14, yeah. The youngest was 14 that was killed. Which is just...
Was it 69 people he killed?
69 people
on the
killed.
Island, I mean. Just on the island.
Yeah, 69 people were killed and 110 were injured. There was a child on there. I think they were like eight or nine, and he didn't kill them. He had the opportunity to, but didn't. And he stated that the child was too young to be killed, despite the fact he shot a 14-year-old. So I'm just wondering at what sort of bracket he kind of deemed. He just said they were too young. So
okay. So the weapons were shown to the court during the trial. Skipping ahead a little bit, but I've got it up now. So the weapons were shown to the court. So the pistol was a Glock 34. So it'll be 9mm handgun. And apparently had the word Mjolnir carved into the handle.
Jesus Christ.
Sam, you're looking a little bit confused there. Mjolnir is the name of Thor's hammer.
Not a euphemism.
Yeah, not a euphemism. His actual magical hammer, that's Mjolnir. So he also had a rifle, which was a Ruger Mini.
Mm.
Yeah, had a bayonet. It had a bayonet attached to the front of it.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And the word Gungnir, which is Gungnir, that's the name of Norse god Odin's spear.
Oh,
so that was carved into the side of the rifle. Yeah. Wow. Bit of Norse mythology thrown in for shits and giggles, obviously.
Well, he's all over the place, isn't he?
I was going to say, he's all over the place. Like, sort out which fucking religion he wants to, like, choose and stick with it. Like, he's just all over the place.
Did anyone watch any of the Survivor stories? Sorry.
Yes.
No.
Oh,
yeah, it was just awful.
Yeah. Awful. Terrifying, actually.
Yeah.
This one with this... A guy was saying he watched a girl start because she thought he was a police officer. So she's just walking towards him, like casually, towards the police officer. He's casually walking back up and he just raises his gun, doesn't shoot, and she starts backing off slow and he keeps the same pace and then just starts shooting off.
I don't know.
Just a horrendous... It's inhumane. That's the only thing I can think of. That's just not human. It's so robotic. It's basically like a cyborg making their way through a load of people. There was even people that were swimming. So they got to the shore and they were swimming out to try and make it to, obviously, back to land. And they were picked up by has normal public people in their boats.
So all the local people went out in their boats to try and help them. Yeah.
So if, you know, but not all of them survived. Like, he was shooting at them as well. Apparently, like, when police did make it to the island, they noted that the sea was just red. It was red with blood.
Yeah, like the helicopter footage, you can actually see, like, it in the water.
Yeah.
And there were being,
horrible footage of this.
Yeah,
it's quite graphic. It is quite graphic.
This one guy,
No, go on.
Oh, so it's just this one guy, one of the guys who went out in a boat. He was saying they were getting up towards the island, they saw a t-shirt floating in the water. Oh. When he got over to it, it wasn't a t-shirt, it was a body, like, face down.
Oh.
Yeah, and he said that was his first, like, just as he was going out towards the island, that's the first thing he saw.
Jesus.
That's horrendous. That's just, horrible, horrible. There was one guy, now I heard on that this guy survived, but then I read that this guy was shot, so I'm not sure which of these actually happened, but basically he swam out. Obviously, fully clothed, there's a tide and everything. So he's absolutely exhausted. And then he's like, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it to one of the boats. And I'm not going to make it to back to the mainland. So he swims back. And as he's kind of knee-height in water, Anders is then there.
Mm.
And one account says that he basically just pleads for his life. And Anders lets him go. I'm not too sure whether I believe that. And then another account is that he was one of the last to be shot.
Did he survive? He survived
I can't remember his name. Didn't try to, if I'm honest. It was complicated.
There was a lot. There was a lot that were injured or shot that actually survived.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that guy, he came face to face with Anders, who did raise his weapon at him. And the guy, this is the guy telling the story, I'm not taking the piss. He said, I screamed like high pitched, like a girl. And he said, he doesn't know where it came from. He was just so scared. That's what came out.
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah.
And then Anders lowered the gun and walked off.
Mm.
So later on, it was said that Anders Holmvik said he didn't shoot Holmvik. That's fucking Anders from Workaholics. What the fuck? Sorry. he didn't shoot him because he said he looked Aryan.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah.
But then, weirdly, as you say, he was also, that kid who he put his gun down against was also the last kid on the island to get shot. He was shot through the shoulder, survived, and then less than a minute later, he was apprehended.
Yeah.
Jesus. Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's an interesting fella, actually, because he's the one that had the story about the girl as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he saw that as well. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, there'd be so, like, imagine, like, obviously you're going to be grateful that you survived, but that is, you're going to be left with so much PTSD after that. It's because it just,
you're going to need therapy for life.
Horrendous. Yeah,
you're going to need therapy for life.
Absolutely, absolutely. So Breivik basically called the police on himself. He called the police twice. The first time he hung up. And then the second time he basically stated, I have completed my operation and I want to surrender. Yeah. So he wanted to be caught for it. He wanted the world to know that he'd done it. There was no, like, he didn't want to be a martyr. He didn't want to die for his cause or anything.
Yeah. He wanted to be famous. Yeah,
which is very unusual.
Absolutely, which is narcissistic, though, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Even the police kind of bungled it. Even like I hate it when people blame the police for things, but they overloaded the ferry trying to get over there, and it started to sink, so they had to go back. That's why it took them so long to get there. You're telling me the police, the fucking hostage SWAT team, whatever, they do not have a boat. You're not telling me all those 15 boats milling about couldn't have taken some police officers over? No,
you would have thought just the ferry.
Ridiculous.
Why don't they have helicopters? Could they not jump on from helicopters? That's what the Americans would have done, god damn it.
Yeah, well, that's the Americans, though, isn't it?
I don't think they just weren't prepared for something like this, though, were they? Because it's not one of those countries. They have a really low crime rate, don't they? Norway.
Really low. Yeah, they have one of the lowest murder rates in the world.
Because that was one of the things that come out of it, wasn't it, though? It was like that they weren't prepared for something like this, and that something like this could not happen again. So then, you know, basically sort it out. Like, they just weren't. The previous female prime minister was one of, I think it's important to note, she was on the island earlier on that day. She'd done a speech. Mm. I'm going to say Gro Harlem Brundtland and hope that I've got that right.
Yeah.
As she was one of Breivik's main targets, however, she kind of missed him, really. She'd managed to get back to the mainland before Breivik even hit the island. Mm. She was one of his main targets as to why he went over there, really.
I mean, even the fact that he went to an island, it kind of suggested he always planned on getting caught or killed, because there was no escape. He went over on the public ferry.
Oh, yeah. I know. In most cases, you would just assume, oh, I don't know. I guess it is just the narcissistic thing where he's just like, no, I want to survive off the back of this. Like, he very much didn't want to die, did he? So, whereas when they were classing it as like a terrorist attack at the time,
he is a domestic terrorist.
Yeah, that is exactly what it was.
He's the definition of a domestic terrorist.
A lot of the time they'll kind of do, it is martyrdom, isn't it? They'll don't mind dying for the cause as such, but that was not what he wanted.
He was always going to turn himself in, wasn't he?
Because he's still drawing attention to himself now, like all the time.
And like he lied about it, like in his head. I don't know if like it was just the whole narcissistic, like grandiose, maybe a bit of Nietzsche syndrome or something. But like, I've got a following and all this kind of stuff. And he didn't. It was just him on his own, in his own little cause in his brain, which was a really muddled up cause anyway. It was like, it's a bit of racism, a bit of like, what's the other ones? The one about countries and stuff. And then obviously sexism thrown in there as well, because there was a conspiracy around I am skipping ahead here, but a conspiracy around the people that he shot initially being predominantly the females and being the prettier members. I don't know how they classified that, and it's a conspiracy around it.
Yeah, I would say
it
was just chance.
Yeah,
but they all scattered on that island. There's no way he could have done that intentionally.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I did read it. I don't really know where it come from. I understand the reasons why someone might conspire that, but I don't know if there was like a reason why. I don't know if he mentioned something himself in passing. I don't know. But yeah. So Breivik surrendered at 6:27 p.m. One of the first things he decided to say before he wanted to talk to the police was that he had a cut on his finger, needed medical assistance. And he made a point of saying that it was, you know, it was basically backlash from a skull fragment from when he'd shot someone.
Yeah.
Which is lovely.
I don't think that was true.
No, it's full of shit. Yeah, he just wanted to say that. Yeah, it's just, but it's kind of one of the things he's probably said to make himself look like, oh, I've done this on a school fragment. But then at the same time, someone's like, you're a twat. Like, you've got a cut on your finger. Like, grow up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so,
but again, that all falls into his narcissism.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because that's it. That's his main complaints now, that his civil liberties or his civil rights are being violated.
Oh, yeah.
He is literally his own island, isn't he? In his head, he is literally, it is just
it's
him.
Just him.
And
yeah,
everyone
absolutely.
Else is just a tiny little character in his main, in his play. It's. Ridiculous.
Just quickly going back to the gun, because I've just been scribbling away, Googling shit about this gun. It was
you ordered one.
I've ordered one, yeah. I did find a great review, which was clearly an American website, because it was comparing it to the AR-15, the classic standard American semi-automatic. And one of the lines was, you probably own an AR-15, in brackets, or 10. The Ruger Mini 14, which is the gun that he used, was in Call of Duty Black Ops that came out in November 2010, and it is the one with the zombies.
Interesting. When did it come out?
2010.
Yeah, that's the one I've played then.
Yeah,
2010 will be around the right time.
So is the year
before. It's very similar to an M1 Garand, if you know that gun as well, which I do. Strangely,
M1 Garand.
Garand, Garand.
Wait, which one of us likes guns?
Look, I told you why I know about certain guns, because my brother used to work for a proof house.
Not what you said before. You said you said because the gang you were in made you learn them.
Gun knowledge it basically like jumped over to me like nits, because my brother worked there for like a few years after he left school. So his gun knowledge is ridiculous. And yeah, he used to talk about them all the time. So I've obviously retained some of that information for whatever reason.
You're like an encyclopedia.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you've maintained that information.
Yeah, I'm up all night furiously learning.
You never know when it might come in handy.
You never know. You just never know.
So we'll be doing a podcast in 2023.
You need to retain this gun knowledge.
You never
need
know.
To retain it.
Look how useful it's been.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Perfect. Another thing he done, which was highly narcissistic. So when he was apprehended and then they take your mugshots.
Oh, yeah.
So he was in his underwear, so at this point I don't know why the mugshot, I don't know when these mugshots happened, but he was in his underwear and adopted a bodybuilder pose. It's
brilliant. Jesus, it's just Christ. Ridiculous.
It is so ridiculous. Like, he's using it as an opportunity for a fucking photo shoot. That's just That's what's
up
his mind.
If
he's
poor
little
finger,
and the fact
I better look good in my photo.
Yeah,
photo.
Absolutely.
Flex.
Yeah.
Weird flex, so obsessed with himself. So an initial psychiatric report was ordered, and so this one, he was deemed paranoid, schizophrenic, and they said he was in a psychotic state when he was carrying out the attacks, and was deemed insane.
He didn't like that though, did he?
He didn't like
the public
it. He did
didn't
not
like it either.
The thing is, as well though, like, it is so, as we've discussed before, it is so hard to get that insanity diagnosis, like where you're like, no, not fit for trial, or not, you know, to go to a psychiatric hospital instead of prison. So many people want that instead. He didn't.
He didn't. He completely rejected
and then complained.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, what are you complaining about? But he didn't. He wanted full notoriety for it, didn't he? Like, he was just like, no,
It offended him, didn't it? Because he said there was something that he said, Let's see if I can find it. I didn't. I should have wrote it.
Yeah,
down.
He made. Like, no, yeah, he did. He made like a.
I mean, but any kind of mental defection wouldn't go down in an Aryan world, would it? That wouldn't fit.
No. So the diagnosis when he got diagnosed after the psychological evaluation, he said something. What did he say?
He said it was like an insult or something. It was to an insult. Or...
Let's have a look. Let's see if I can find it. Because it was really interesting the way he phrased it. Oh, yeah. Here we go. So basically, because of the diagnosis, he knew that he was going to be sent to a psychiatric ward instead of prison. And we'll talk about how cushy the prison is in a minute. He said, I must admit this is the worst thing that could have happened to me, as it is the ultimate humiliation. To send a political activist to a mental hospital is more sadistic and evil than to kill him. It's a fate worse than death.
Jesus Christ.
That's what he said.
He's just so deluded, right?
He's really deluded. He is obsessed with himself, yeah.
He's the ultimate narcissist. But, yes. Like, it didn't, obviously, even though he didn't want it, it also didn't hold up either, because it was noted that he didn't appear to have psychosis, depression, or anything else. You know, it just... He didn't. So another report was ordered and he was then diagnosed with antisocial personality disorder and narcissistic personality disorder, and therefore was sane enough to stand trial, which I think is more, I do think that is more accurate.
That is more accurate, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, so... There was a few demands that Breivik wanted, because it's his show. He is, you know...
It's the Anders Breivik show.
Absolutely. So the first thing he wanted was the trial to be televised, which was denied. He also wanted to wear his homemade commander's uniform, which was denied. And he also wanted to read a speech he had written, which was denied. And good on... the court for deciding to deny these things, because
absolutely
there would definitely be some states in America or even like here in the UK where they go, yeah, that's fine, yeah, wear your uniform, make your speech. Like, it's not fucking about you, mate. It's not about you. It's about what you've done, but it's not about you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you wonder if some Western countries might bring in the whole, well, you know, civil rights and all this, religious freedom, blah, 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 political freedom, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, we'll get onto that as well.
Yeah. They did make it very much about, like, the victims at the end of the day, and, like, that's why you're on trial. Like, it's not about you. It's about bringing justice, even though... The justice is a bit...
Didn't stop him Nazi saluting, though, did it?
No,
oh,
that's
my
it.
God.
No,
what,
so...
Yeah, what
to the
idiot.
Judge.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
The, he did it to the judge, the jury, and I don't know if... Was the public as well in there? I can't remember.
I don't know.
They didn't stop him doing the salute anyway. I read that the Nazi salute was the later trial, which was the one in 2000...
Was that the later one?
Yeah, was like it wasn't a normal court, was it? It was like it was one in the prison that
it was.
He's trying to stay in there, and he clearly.
Well,
he is. I fully agree there. So he also I can't remember his. I did write it down actually. His lawyer's name. I didn't write it down because I can't pronounce this. Yeah, Lippestad or something like that along that line.
Yes,
massively like abused by the public for sort of being his defender. As much as he did not at all agree with what Anders done, he kind of agrees in, he supports the legal system, which is his job, and that is fair
That's
enough.
His job, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so he did get quite a lot of abuse off the back of it. But so on the 24th of August 2012, Anders was sentenced to 21 years with and to be eligible for parole after 10. 21 years, obviously not a lot. However, it is Norway's
maximum.
It's their maximum sentence.
Yeah.
I did read, though, it can be extended.
No, his specific sentence can. So he got, I think they called it is it called a custody order or a detainment order? Okay. So that can be extended, yeah, but their prison sentences can't beyond 21 years. That's the maximum.
Yeah. They said preventative detention is deemed necessary to protect society. That's what they said.
Oh, because he would definitely do something again.
He would definitely re-offend.
100%.
They're obviously a country that very much like, they fully believe that people can be rehabilitated, don't they? And I suppose that's why their maximum is so, is only 21 years. But there is no, he could not be rehabilitated at all.
I think he's too far gone now.
Yeah, if you think about their crime rate, they might be right.
Possibly their crime rate obviously is really low.
Have they seen someone as extreme as him before though?
I doubt it. No, doubt anyone has.
He's got to be a special case. Like, I mean,
even amongst spree killers or mass shooters, he's like, I think he must have the most like victims, right?
Probably.
I would imagine.
I don't think anyone's come anywhere near that, apart from maybe the Texas Tech killer. But I'm sure that was only in the 20s. Only in the 20s. Horrible way to put it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Dodgy slip. Yeah. No disrespect meant, obviously.
No. So that was him sentenced in August 2012. And then in November 2012, he had the audacity to write a 27-page letter of complaints to the prison authorities.
That's a fucking post-it for him.
He was not happy.
Did you read it? Did you read some of them? It was like the authorities used this specific maneuver on me 3,200 times. I've been handcuffed 1,500 times. Like, what the fuck? Like, he's got a little stick chart.
Yeah.
Like, on his cell or something.
Yeah,
like,
he's lucky he's in the prison system he's in. Because if he's in America,
let's talk about his prison cell. I say cell. It was three fucking cells. He had his own bathroom. He had a games console. He had a study room. He had a study room. What was the other one? He had a study room. What were the other two rooms?
He had a study room, an exercise room.
Exercise room. Yeah. And then
and living quarters.
The living
and then the
quarters.
Bathroom as well. Which
and
is which
all
is
that
more
and he
than...
doesn't have to speak to anyone.
Yeah,
sign me
but
up.
I'd quite happily just shut myself in there away from people because, you know, general
you
population.
Have to work.
Well, yeah, exactly. Three square meals a day. What are you moaning for?
There are people in who have not committed crimes, like have not committed murder, not one murder, never mind as many as he done.
And he in 2016 he filed a lawsuit, didn't he, against the state, saying that his human rights have been infringed because of his solitary confinement.
Yeah,
whiny baby.
Just fuck all the way off. Just fuck off.
Absolutely,
just disgusting.
Yeah,
absolutely disgusting. But 27-page letter of complaints. Fuck off. I'd have burnt it in front of him. I'd have set that alight in front of him.
Yeah. But he does get letters of support, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
Oh,
which
yeah,
he
I'm
responds
sure he does,
to
yeah.
every single
probably more
one
and more
of
all the time.
Yeah.
I guarantee that's getting more and more.
Yeah. Aww. He shouldn't be allowed to write back to them, though. He shouldn't be given the privilege of being able to correspond.
That was one of the complaints, wasn't it? His pen wasn't ergonomic and was hurting his hand.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He complained. And his chair in his study room wasn't ergonomic and it was causing him, you know,
back
ache. Yeah.
You imagine being so narcissistic that you're complaining about your pen not being
ergonomic. It's the Anders Breivik show.
Hundreds of people.
The audacity.
Yeah.
Yet again, another man with the audacity.
I feel like this is becoming a very feminist. And the thing is, though, no, Paul just sits here and agrees. He's like, every time.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
what
you will agree. You
what are
will
you
agree.
Say? Well, I mean, what other choice is there? Hitler was a man. Hitler was a man.
Great birthday of Hitler.
Yeah. Do you really?
Oh, wait, he didn't have any balls though, did he? So maybe not all of them.
I thought he had one.
Well, did he have one? That's the song, isn't it? Oh, yeah, he had one ball, yeah.
Yeah, he only had one. And he was vegetarian.
He was also a drug addict.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, are we doing Hitler?
We've digressed into Hitler.
I think that one's not just one episode.
His mum did visit him in prison, though, didn't she?
Hitler's?
No, Anders Breivik.
Oh, of course. Cool. Sorry.
I didn't know that, did she?
Yeah, she died in 2013, but she visited him about four or five times, I think. Yeah. Wow,
I wonder what they think.
Yeah, because
about.
She didn't really, from what I saw, she didn't like end up disowning. She was trying to make out he wasn't a bad person. And you're like, but you fucking hated him. And you're the reason, let's face it, you're the reason he is the way he is. And now so fucked up.
It is.
Meanwhile, his dad's like, he should have just killed himself instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like you said, though, that's the thing. That is the polar opposite from how his mum is. And if he'd have ended up with his dad.
Yeah.
Even though his dad would have disowned him for doing the bad thing, he wouldn't have ended up doing the bad thing, no doubt, if he was with his dad.
Yeah. Maybe he would have turned that sort of drive to something else.
Exactly.
You got to wonder, like, if Steve Jobs had taken the left road instead of the right road, what would have happened?
I love those, those whole sliding door moments. Like comparison thought processes though. It's so fascinating.
It is.
Yeah.
Like when you look back at your own and you're like, do you know what? If I'd have just said no to that job, what would I be, or something like that? Like madness. And in January 2022, that's when the three-day trial was held, which was to decide whether the district attorney's refusal of parole was to be upheld, and that's when he gives his Nazi salute. It's not even a Nazi salute, is it?
It's actually the Black Panthers salute.
Wakanda forever,
yeah. Absolutely.
Not that kind of Black Panther.
Yes, I know. It's
the political
group. One, isn't it? There's a film about that, isn't there?
Oh, there's a few, yeah.
Yeah. Is it
Tupac's mum was one of the founding members.
Was she?
Yeah. You're getting all kinds of facts on this podcast.
Isn't it isn't the film is it Judas and the Black Messiah with Daniel Kaluuya? I haven't seen it, but I'm pretty sure that's what it's about. It's Daniel Kaluuya and what's his name? Lakeith Stanfield.
It is
about them, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what he was doing. He was doing the Black Panther salute. It wasn't even a Nazi salute. So again, he's fucked up his organization.
It's just a bitter disappointment to his cause, isn't he?
There are also there's a lot of kind of conspiracy theories around him though that have come off the back of it, and they've said like even though he made out it was for his political beliefs and stuff, it wasn't anything to do with it. And I think so. I can understand that because it is so muddled. There are lots of different sort of reasons why people think he done it. And at the end of the day, he just had he was just a really fucked up person. Didn't have a fucking clue who he was.
Absolutely.
Because
he may have even thought he was doing it for those reasons. He might have even convinced himself that that's the reason, but I don't think it was.
No.
It's just because he's a narcissist and he wanted to be this revered figure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because he wasn't, even though he planned this for 9 years, he just kind of planned the execution of something rather than he wasn't carrying out a belief system in those 9 years. You know, like even his manifesto was not his manifesto.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he wasn't even practicing any kind of
political
like anything. He was just literally planning the attack.
And just bobbing about from job to job and getting bankrupt here and running up debt here and just planning an attack. There was no and because he just like references, he takes bits of different religions, and don't get me wrong, they are like more like Christianity and Catholicism religion, but also like the belief systems of people like Ted Kaczynski
and
he kind of
chucking some Norse mythology
and just throws that into one. The one thing he just knows that he absolutely hates is like Islam.
Yeah,
that's literally
it's like it. It's like the first D&D character you ever come up with. This has got everything.
Yeah. Just a hodgepodge of everything in the mix. Yeah.
And I think like he's just I even think he was completely misinformed about he was, I don't think if you were to sit him down and sort of go, okay, explain to me what your belief is about Islam, it would just be some made up thing in his head. Yeah. I think like just what he thinks is what he's heard is not what he actually is.
Yeah, and it'll probably be, you know, sourced from, you know, right-wing media, you know, all kinds Daily Mail headlines, like what you know sound bites, you know that kind of thing.
That's it. It's just like, that sounds terrible, that's it, that's bad, and this is good, and white is good, and man is good, woman is bad. Like, it's just not, it's not educated enough. I don't believe like he was stupid by any means. I do believe he was intelligent, but I don't think what his belief system was very, it just wasn't thought out. There was no intelligence behind it.
It wasn't coherent, yeah. It wasn't coherent.
Yeah, that coherence is probably a good word, yeah.
It's like there's six really loud extreme Muslims online and six really loud extreme Christians online. And the rest of the world is just normal. And like the other billion Muslims are going, huh? What? What do you mean? Yeah. No, we don't want to know.
Yeah, basically.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. So that is, he was so much more than I thought when I chose him. Okay, now.
And also at the same time, so much less.
That's crazy. True. Yeah.
You don't realise until you know, you scratch that surface and you think, oh, yeah, this will be straightforward.
The problem
and
is there's a fuckload to the case, but himself, there's no substance there, really. Not to him. No. He's got just no real personality.
He's just a damaged little boy that, like, grew up to be a monster.
Yeah.
That's literally, like,
one of the worst.
One of the worst.
Loyal.
So that was the case of Anders Breivik. Thank you very much, Sam, for choosing that one. Our first mass murder. Brilliant.
Is it? Oh, wow.
First mass murder, yeah. Next episode will be episode 39, and it's Paul's choice.
And coincidentally, another mass murder killing spree. We're going to do Rail Moat.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about Gaza.
Oh,
it's going to come up a lot, isn't it?
It's going to come up a lot. I can't wait.